Paul Kennedy's ducked out of the ABC News Breakfast studio to talk to us this morning because, as you probably know, Paul has been very closely following the story of the Foster family over the years. We're talking about Anthony and Chrissy Foster. Anthony Foster, tragically, there really is no other word for it, died on Friday night after sustaining a head injury during the week. His family decided on Friday evening to switch off his life support. And as we talked about over the weekend, more tragedy than any family should know. But I was really surprised to see the announcement or the offer of a state funeral, and also pleased to see that the family accepted it. Paul, were you surprised by that?
I wasn't. I guess I'm a little bit like Chrissy, that very humbling to know that there was a broader acceptance of Anthony's contribution. For me, it was always immense. You know, I could see through knowing the Fosters and following very closely, sharing their experiences of fighting not only the Catholic Church, but then standing up for so many people, so many survivors. I mean, they would do things, you know, behind the scenes, and they've offered counsel and support to so many hundreds of people that people would never know about. They were always helping people, not to mention the thousands of people who they didn't know personally who have benefited from their advocacy. So, yeah, I think it's a great thing, the state funeral. I know that Chrissy, I spoke to her this morning, she's very moved by it, and very humbled and very proud. And she also said, and I agree, that Anthony would have loved that recognition because, you know, it's his work was not for him, but it was, you know, never-ending, really. And they've done such great work. So I applaud the Victorian government for doing that.
No, it's been obviously a horrific thing, and as we've said, for a family that knew more tragedy than any should ever have to. I'm sure a lot of people have learned a lot more about the Fosters over this weekend than they possibly knew. And for those who don't, the story that two of their daughters were repeatedly sexually abused while at primary school by the priest who was there, a priest who was a known and prolific abuser, and that was something the church had known about for a long time previously. One of those daughters, as she grew up, took her own life. Another one developed an alcohol problem in her teens, which indirectly led to her being left profoundly disabled after a car accident. But I can only ask, how's Chrissy doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's doing well. She's being supported by family and friends. I asked her last night how she would cope without Anthony, and she said that she learnt from Anthony how to be strong, and that she's just going to keep being strong. And that's, you know, that's something that she would take from him. She also talked about her love for Anthony. And anyone that knows them knows that they are two halves of virtually the same person. They do everything together. As a married couple, they would go on holidays. They've travelled the world together. They went and sat at every session that they possibly could of the Royal Commission. They're always together. And she used to say to him that she can never get enough of him. She always told him how much she loved him. And even a couple of weeks ago, I remember her laughing that she was telling him that she thought he was perfect. And, you know, he was saying, no, I'm not perfect. But she just adored Anthony and he adored her. And so she has said that there's nothing that she could have said to him that has been left unsaid. So she's going to miss him terribly. Obviously, there's going to be so much loneliness there from missing Anthony, but she loved him so utterly that she actually said that death can't take away the love that she had for Anthony. And, you know, she's well supported by a strong network of friends and family. Her daughters, Amy and Katie, are still there. They've got grandchildren, two little grandchildren, so she'll just keep soldiering on as she always has. And I think, you know, it really is just that love that they had for each other. And that love was how they survived anyway in the last 20, 25 years, Ben, because, and the church never knew that. The church treated the Fosters as adversaries. You know, the church underestimated them all along. And I don't think the church understood where the power of these two suburban parents came from. And it was from love. And was more powerful than anything the church threw at them.
It's a remarkable partnership that can withstand that much for so long, but they were a remarkable couple. And I was really quite taken aback by the statement that came out from the Royal Commission on the day. That was very personal.
It was. And if you've been to the Royal Commission, you've sat in those sessions, you know that it is personal. It's not a cold environment. And the Commission is including the head of the Commission, Justice Peter McClellan. They've made it that way, and they've made it a place where survivors can come and tell their stories. And don't forget there have been 7,000, almost 7,000 private hearings too, where those commissioners have listened to survivors' stories. They are, you know, they're experts on this issue. And what they saw from sitting behind their chairs and listening to the evidence time and again was Anthony and Christine Foster sitting in the front row, if not the front row, the second row. And they sat there and they listened to some awful evidence given by church hierarchy that still, I believe, don't understand the church's actions and how much hurt they've followed. And I think that there was a mutual admiration and mutual respect between the Fosters and the Royal Commissioners because they have the same heart.
I prepared the television obituary, the television news obituary
you
for
did a
Anthony
great job,
over
yeah.
the world. It was a year where there's been too many tough jobs like that, I have to say. But as part of it, I did approach the Catholic Church and they did provide us a statement. We only, of course, mentioned a short part of it in the TV news on Saturday. But it was really acknowledging all of the things that you're saying. Mm. We're greatly saddened. We're shocked. He's been a devoted and loyal husband, a tireless and fearless advocate, a mentor to survivors and families. Mm. Does that indicate to you that there's a different tone, a different line coming out of the church?
Well, the church says a lot of things, and I always go back to the evidence, and I've sat in the Royal Commission. I've listened to their evidence. And for me, the church hierarchy hasn't changed its heart. And so it's up for the state to enforce changes from the final recommendations from the commission. No, the church, and it wasn't Anthony's church. Chrissy was the Catholic. Anthony was not. And he always focused on justice for victims. So how the church operates is really up for that, and up for the hierarchy, and up for the people of the church to determine. But no, I think it's lovely that they've passed on those thoughts. But I'll wait to see what changes happen in the church from the Royal Commission.
As we will.
That's what my focus would be on.
Thanks, PK.
Thanks, Ben.
Paul Kennedy, ABC News presenter, of course, on ABC News Breakfast, but also the author, along with Chrissy Foster, the wife of Anthony Foster, of a book called Hell on the Way to Heaven, the harrowing story of the tragedy that the Foster family went through, and of course, yet more tragedy last week, completely out of the blue, devastating loss. Anthony Foster, whose life support was switched off on Friday evening after sustaining a fall and knocking himself unconscious, from which he never woke up. And of course, we have the news that he has been offered a state funeral, which has been accepted by the family. It's just a couple of minutes away from 9 o'clock. You're listening to ABC Melbourne.